for non-immigrants, they have to come for a very temporary purpose. Usually it has a time limitation. And as mentioned here, if you overstay that status, it can have serious consequences that we'll talk about later. Let's look at some of these alphabet soup categories. The most common is the visitor, the B visa. And people apply to come to our country. They're supposed to spend some money and go back. That we also have a category for certain business visitors. So those are the B1s and B2s. An F student visa is a very common category. International students coming to pursue a degree at a college or university. And then we have the H visas. This is the only non-immigrant category that has numerical limits. And we run out of numbers for H1s and H2s and all of the Hs. They run out of the annual limit of visa numbers. The H1 is the most common for professional workers. It's called specialty workers. And normally you have to have a degree and be going into a job that at least requires that degree. For example, engineers of all type, you can't be an engineer if you don't at least have a degree in the field. Once a year, we have an annual lottery. If you've never had the H1, you have to qualify for one of these coveted numbers. This year, we had over 200,000 timely filed applications for H1Bs for professionals from India, China, and all over the world, and they only have roughly 85,000 numbers. So if you got picked for we call it the visa lottery for H1s, it happens the first week of April every year, then you can usually try to get approved if you fit the right facts, and you can keep that status for 3 years and renew for another 3 years. And if you're deep into a green card, you should be able to extend it even beyond 6 years as needed. The H2A is for certain agricultural workers, also a temporary category, like growers need workers to pick some crops that are going to rot if they don't get those workers here. And H2B is also a pretty common category, and it has to be for seasonal or intermittent, not a permanent need. So a landscaping company that can show in the summertime they have a big need for a lot more workers, but it's not a permanent need all year round, it's seasonal, they might be able to get H2B workers. Other categories that are very common are the J1 exchange visitor visa. Be careful with that one because many times they have a 2-year obligation to return to their home country. I had a couple yesterday that met with me, and he's from South America. She's a U.S. citizen. They're married. She wants to get his green card, but he has a 2-year obligation to go back. He had a Fulbright scholarship where his country paid over $100,000 for him to come study here. And the rules for most J's are you have to go back and spend 2 years back in your home country before you would be eligible for an H1 or for a green card. And it's not easy to get out of it, especially Fulbright people that had a lot of money spent on them. Their country would like him to go back for at least 2 years, and maybe he'll like it there again and stay, and there won't be a brain drain. So be careful with that J1. Another important one is the L1, intra-company transferee. So if you have worked for at least a year of the last 3 years for a company abroad as an executive or key manager or a person of specialized knowledge, they can try to get a temporary L1 visa for you to come into the U.S. to work for the U.S. office. There's the E-treaty investor visa. We have to have a treaty with your country, and you have to be coming to develop and direct a business and be directly involved to invest a substantial amount of money into that business and put the money at risk. But it can be a very useful visa for a lot of people that have that treaty between the United States and the other country. I believe Gene Flynn is here, and he could tell us exactly how many treaties we have now, but I think more than 30 countries have these E1 and E2 treaties with the U.S.